Welcome to A Wee Blether About, a podcast from the Academic Skills team at UWS. My name is Linda Riches and I'm one of the Academic Skills Advisors at University. So in this podcast, we're going to discuss academic integrity and we've got a special guest to do that this week. We've got Dr. Kate Cotter. Hi, Kate.
Hi, lovely to meet you, Linda.
And in addition to her role as programme leader and lecturer on TV, radio and podcast production, Kate also sits on the Academic Integrity Panel for the School of Business and Creative Industries. So we're really glad to have her here and to tell us a little bit about the mysteries of the Academic Integrity Panel, what that means and how it might affect you as a student. So we'll start off by thinking a little bit about academic integrity. And as always, I've got other academic skills advisors here to pitch in with their thoughts. So hi, Carly.
Hi, Linda.
And Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
And John. Hi, John.
Hi, Linda.
So we're all here and we're all sort of intrigued to hear a bit from Kate about academic integrity. I think John was going to kick off by just sort of giving us a bit of an idea, setting the scene for us in terms of what is meant by academic integrity. It might be a term students have heard, but they don't really know what it means. Mm. So could you help us with that a little bit?
Well, it's a kind of a word that's kind of grown in popularity. I hear it more and more, actually, in everyday usage around the university. So, academic integrity, it really represents kind of what being a good student is all about, I think. And it often gets linked to a definition by the International Centre for Academic Integrity. So it's often tied to a definition where academic integrity is described as holding six core values, and they are trust, honesty, fairness, responsibility, respect, and courage. So it's all about doing the right thing at university. But of course, I think what we're going to discuss today is when academic integrity goes wrong. And so we're going to have a bit of a chat about kind of good practice, but we're also going to find out, I think, from Kate, what happens when those values maybe are not upheld. So I look forward to hearing about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's those six values. And I think initially maybe some students might go, well, how does that affect me? And I don't quite understand that. So, yeah, Kate, can you tell us just a little bit about what the Academic Integrity Panel is? And it's quite a new term, isn't it, really?
That's right, it is. So I think up to maybe last year, it was actually called the Plagiarism Panel, which is almost a very simple idea of the fact that maybe any kind of issue around ethics or presentation of work that seems to be in breach of regulations is plagiarism. But actually, it's a much more complex list of reasons why students are sent to the panel. So each school in the university has its own integrity panel, academic integrity panel, and that is consistently got a chair or two co-chairs, sometimes approved by the dean, and then we need to have two members of academic staff. So in total, there's a minimum of three people on any academic integrity panel. We actually have a large pool of people from across business and creative industries who are interested in being involved in the panel. And from a staff point of view, it's really great to have that support of other staff. But also we're all learning all the time, particularly in the age of artificial intelligence, about what the idea of integrity is in university assessment submissions, I would say.
Learning all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So we meet quite regularly. I think kind of formally, probably at the end of every term, there's a kind of a flurry of submissions of actual assessed work. But we meet throughout because we are constantly reviewing cases. And we have a fantastic online system that was designed by Dr. Stephen Langston from Performance. And that is a system where any module coordinator or postgrad supervisor can refer a case to us. And they upload the actual materials to show us what the issue is. And then we as a panel will all individually go and read that material. And then we will meet and discuss it and ourselves and have a look at what we think the case might be. But then hopefully, and this, I think this is where there's, you know, it's something for students to be really aware of. They have an opportunity to then come in front of the panel and discuss the case. Now, that sounds very formal, like a court case. Mm-hmm. It's really not. It's much more about they can bring someone with them if they like. Sometimes people bring an interpreter, or if they're very nervous, they might bring a friend or a mentor. And they come and talk to us about what happened, and we try and understand the circumstances and the case, because every single submission to us is quite unique, obviously.
So these will be cases where a lecturer has flagged up some kind of concern about the assignment.
100%.
What kind of concerns might they be then? Do they vary?
They really do vary. I would say the most common one is indeed plagiarism, which would suggest that somebody was trying to gain credit by using somebody else's work. So it might be the work of another student, either a present current student, or it could be a past student who had done a similar assessment. Plagiarism can also be using things that you found online and maybe copy and pasting them in and pretending it's your own words, gaining the credit for something you hadn't actually thought of or written yourself. And then there's another form of plagiarism, which is self-plagiarism, which is maybe you decided to recycle a bit of work that you had done for another similar assessment. And that can be another form of plagiarism that gets flagged by the Turnitin software, because it'll come up that that had already been submitted elsewhere. So plagiarism is probably our most common submission. And I think a part of that would be things like not referencing other people's material, not referencing author's material, copying other students' work. And then the other kind of things we get in are submission of AI-generated material. That's become a bigger issue for us, obviously, with the rise of AI. And then collusion is another one, where maybe some students have kind of worked together or shared a piece of work, and they're both submitting the same piece of work. And then the last most common one we get is around things like surveys and reports and kind of data, the results of some work being falsified, or perhaps, and not necessarily falsified, but not clearly submitted. So it's not clear if these are real surveys that were done by real people, or has the student kind of plucked them out of thin air. That's really the most common ones.
Yeah, so quite a range, and important to say it's not just AI. I think sometimes people think, oh, this is now an issue because of AI, but actually plagiarism's an issue that's always been a problem.
100%. I mean, back in school, I think it was that you kept your arm around your copybook so that somebody else didn't copy your maths answers. So I suppose collusion is a similar modern example of that. But so AI, the other form of, before AI anyway, that was a big issue was essay mills.
Yeah.
Have bought an essay online, or have shared sometimes the cost of an essay with some. Maybe I shouldn't be giving away all these ideas. and then the essay. So the essay is submitted, and I would say, in fairness to students, because I run some Instagram accounts for the university, I come up maybe in the algorithms on Instagram, for example, as a student, and I get sent approached all the time with offers of essay mills. So you can see that these are things that are very much in circulation out there in the life of a social media of a student. Yeah,
that might be something actually to bring Marion on, because I remember, Mary, you talked about that before, about just getting messages and how that students get bombarded on social media with that, don't they?
Yeah, we actually ended up doing a little Instagram post for the UWS page about those, because they do target just anyone who follows the university, or maybe is in academia and so has an account that follows lots of different things, or publishes or anything like that. And so I worked with Paul, the social media manager, to create a little video just encouraging students to be aware of what they're being asked for and advertised about, but also to tell them how to turn off unwanted messages from people who don't follow them on social media, which I feel is a good life rule anyway, but especially in terms of academic integrity, keeping that secure, because those are quite predatory as well. They're really targeting students. They're not even waiting for students to come to them. They're making it seem like it's okay and it's easy, and it's quite unfair to students, I think. Yeah.
And I maybe bring in Carly here. Some of those issues that Kate was talking about, are they familiar to you? Have you had those conversations with students in sessions about, you know, things that potentially could be up before an integrity panel?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's still a little bit of confusion sometimes around what is, you know, potentially a breach of academic integrity and what's not. A lot of people think it's black and white plagiarism. It's either it is or it isn't, or that it has to be intentional. And oftentimes it's not intentional breaches of academic integrity. And that's why these conversations are so important. And, you know, we try to include some information on that when we talk about references, because that's where some of these things often come up as well. So it is really good to be talking about this today, but also as the potential for breaches of academic integrity feels like it's increasing with Gen AI and things, it's good to have some clarity to it. But, you know, I always remind students as well, if you're creating your own work and you're citing where you need to the appropriate sources, then you're probably, you know, achieving the gold standard of academic integrity. So you're probably going to be okay.
Yeah. And that's a good point, actually, to bring in, you know, we've obviously highlighted these areas, but how can students make sure that they do act with integrity? So maybe bring John in and a little bit on that. And then, and Kate, also your thoughts in terms of what you've seen and, you know, what are some simple bits of advice for students as well?
Yeah, so and the first one's just basically keeping track of all your references. So when you're taking notes, making sure you basically the first thing, if you're taking notes, is to write down the source that you are taking notes from and keep that recorded in some way, so you've got that to hand when you actually start to write your assignment up. Be aware of university policies surrounding academic integrity and AI as well. Be aware of self-plagiarism. I made a note of that when Kate was speaking as well, because some people or some students think that if they have written the work before, then that can then be used in a following essay at a later point. And that causes all kinds of issues with Turnitin, because Turnitin just then, especially if it's been used by another institution, it flags it up as being actual plagiarism then. I would say even, and then this is the issue, even if you think that it's your own work and you want to use it in a future assignment, it will always be a different assignment anyway and would need tweaking from that previous assignment. And good practice, if you're getting higher up in academia as well, you do need to self-reference yourself as well. So if you're writing kind of master's or PhD theses and you've published something before, you should be referencing yourself if you're using something you've written before as a reference. So yeah, it's just to be aware of what's out there in terms of good academic integrity practice and policy, I'd say.
Yeah, what would you say, Kate? Are there some relatively simple things that students just don't do and you think, I can't believe this has come before the panel?
I think so. And I would say, therefore, I'd probably just talk a little bit through what the kind of options are in terms of when we look at the material, what the kind of conclusions or decisions we can come to are, because that'll give you a sense of the fact that I think for some people coming in front of the panel isn't a bad thing, because it might be a big learning curve as to what counts and what doesn't count. So, you know, it's not the end of the world when you're coming in front of the panel. It's innocent till proven or whatever. So from our point of view, I would say the most common decision that we make is, one of the most common decisions is no case to answer, that actually what's happened is perhaps, as John has said, it's something like self-plagiarism or some type of misunderstanding of the actual assessment. And that perhaps in that case, the student learns from the process of how to submit properly. They're referencing, maybe they haven't included the bibliography or included a lot of things in the bibliography. And as John says, that's something to do really early on, is just get into the practice of scribbling down a note of what you've used, or you can use the EndNote software or something like that. But the one that maybe is more relevant here is the class two decision, which is poor academic practice. And that's where we realize that the student, they kind of unbeknownst to themselves, the academic integrity of their work is poor and needs some work. It does mean that we don't, you know, it doesn't go any further than the panel. It's just a case of poor academic practice. We might recommend for that student to engage with the academic skills team, or just to read some of the documentation around learning what's okay in terms of referencing and what's not okay, and maybe have a look at our quite clear integrity procedures document. And a note of that, the record of that decision is kept by the school. Again, the student is free to go. And sometimes they have to do a resit for that and submit the material again the following trimester. Where it becomes a little bit more formal is where we make the decision of minor. So the original assessment is not assessed and the students have to resubmit. And there could be, depending, a cap on the threshold mark for that. But again, I think with all these things, it's a learning curve. And even in the case of a minor, yes, you get a formal written warning, but you're free to go forth and submit the material again. So all of this is done with the intention of being a learning curve.
And I mean, maybe just touch on it, but what is the most sort of serious penalty, and right, what would that mean?
Yeah, the most serious penalty is a major, which is four, a code four, and that is where we do invoke the disciplinary process. And that might be a kind of a formal reprimand or a suspension, but that decision is made by the Senate Disciplinary Committee. So that sentence is that kind of decision is made further along. We just make that decision that that's to be reviewed further by the Senate Disciplinary Committee. It can ultimately, result in expulsion. But I haven't personally had that experience in the last two or three years of being on the academic integrity panel, really, where we've had much of that.
Oh, that's good. So that's relatively rare then.
Yeah, I think it is. I think.
Yeah. So it's really more at that lower end of maybe just not realizing that their work needs to have that academic integrity.
Absolutely. And actually, sometimes we go back to the module coordinator and look at the assessment material and give some feedback on the wording and where clarity might be needed. There are lots of modules across the university where people are embracing and using AI, for example, and it's a part of the assessment. So again, you need to be clear in your assessment what the methods are and what's allowed and what's not allowed as well. So sometimes it's actually us as a university reflecting on us being clear
on the assessment. That's an interesting point. I hadn't really thought about that, that actually it's a learning process for the university as well.
Completely. Yeah. Why do you think I'm on the integrity panel, Linda? I'm just learning.
You're learning, exactly, exactly. Anyone get any sort of other thoughts or comments about that that they want to make, Mary?
Yeah, I just wanted to really agree with us focusing on it being a learning process, because I think we emphasise that in skills with pretty much everything that we teach, that referencing, there's no reason why you should know that before you come to university. If you have never done it before, how would you know all the rules? Academic writing, the tone that you need to use, why would you know that? Everyone needs to learn it. But I think because, you know, it's academic integrity and because it's this sense of like a moral duty, people are scared to say that they don't know. So I just want to, you know, reassure students that there is guidance. You know, there's the academic integrity procedure. There's that definition that John talked about. You can come and discuss with us if you're nervous. And ultimately, as Kate said, the panels are there to help you learn. And it's very rare that there will be an unfortunate result from that as well. So just really thankful that that was highlighted.
Yeah. Big thumbs up there from Kate, I could see. Yeah,
I think we need to stop it there. That's brilliant.
Perfect,
advice, Barry.
Perfect ending. So I mean, we wanted it to just be a fairly, a non-scary chat about academic integrity. And you know, we're really grateful to Kate for coming along and making those points and sort of putting a face to the academic integrity panel for us as well, so that we kind of know, you know, what goes on. So thanks a lot, Kate. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. And thanks to the academic skills team. You do a great, great job at the university. We're grateful for all of the support you give our students.
Thank you. Oh, I can feel the love in the room. I can feel the love in the room. So, that's great. And hopefully that's helped. And as Mary said, you know, if you're not sure about academic integrity, you want to chat about it, then by all means, speak to any of us and we can chat that through with you. We can talk to you about those, the values and the guidance that's out there. And as always, if there's something that you want us to chat about on the podcast, then just drop us a line to skills@uws.ac.uk. Thanks to everyone for coming along today, and thanks for listening.